We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray. Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast on Blue Wire, brought to you by RotoViz. My name is Dan Sanio, and tonight we are going to talk a little bit about Dynasty startup strategy, things like where you should be drafting or where you may want to draft, draft pick value, ADP, doing do's and don'ts types of things, how you should use it, how not to use it, so on and so forth, and a little bit of rookie talk as well, built into a startup, how they should be valued there, picks versus just the physical rookies themselves, and all of the other things. Plus, we like we talked about last week, we're going to be implementing an app every single week as a part of the show, and following our strategy talk, we will be going over the Game Splits app. But before we dive in, I want to say hello to my great friend, Nathan Powell.
I will want to take exception with your intro here. You didn't say anything was in the books. Granted, I don't know what you would say was in the books.
me hosting is in the books.
All righty. So let's get into today's show. By talking about some nice startups. So just some full disclosure here. We're talking about this because Dan and I are currently in a startup with some Tradecast listeners called the Dynasty Tradecast Best Ball Listener League. So we're going to give out all of our strategy after the draft is halfway done.
True. All the secrets to the trade. This is all insider information. So just remember to tip your dealer, tip your waitress, all that fun stuff.
So one of the first parts of Dynasty strategy, obviously this isn't, I would say, you know, guarantee when you enter Dynasty League, but I feel like if you want to be in a good draft Dynasty League, you have to have a draft position draft. How that order is determined, you know, can, you know, vary based on how fun you want to get. But a draft position draft itself is paramount, you know, giving your league mates, obviously, the ability to, you know, draft where they want to draft. And there's, you know, strategy involved in whether you want the first pick, the sixth pick, the eighth pick, whatever it may be. So I guess let's start off with that. And as we will talk, you know, a lot of these things can vary certainly between one quarterback and Superflex. So I guess I'll start with that in Superflex this year, you want the 101. And in most years, you want the 101 because that guarantees you whoever the Dynasty QB1 is at that stage. And in one QB, I think it varies a little, it differs a little bit more. So what are your thoughts on draft position? Where are you looking to draft? Is it always 101? Is it, you know, always in the middle, always late? Where's your ideal spot?
So in one quarterback, which I know is not really the norm at this point, everybody's either playing super flex or two QB. I do think picking late in one QB is more ideal because now you're getting two top 10 or 15 players, depending how the draft falls. Maybe Patrick Mahomes does slide in, which he shouldn't, but in one QB leagues, occasionally we see it happen where he slides into the back half of the first or top of the second for some reason, because people love quarterbacks. And, you know, it's hard to, aside from just the value standpoint, it's hard to deny that many points early on, but only starting one QB. I prefer to pick late, but I think Nathan is fairly spot on as far as picking early and wanting one of, if not the best quarterbacks in two QB or super flex or whatever you want to call it. I think getting the advantage of Patrick Mahomes is pretty massive at this point. It's the Gronk argument, but with substance, right?
You know, and with a volume of years, like Gronk is like, okay, this is like a 4 or 5 year thing, like max. Mahomes, obviously, barring injury, it's like a 12, 16 year thing. Granted, yeah. The question is your dynasty going to last 12 to 16 years?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Patrick Mahomes has a better chance of being a top three quarterback for more years than your dynasty league has to exist.
Exactly. That's a huge advantage in Superflex.
So I think the big question, honestly, or what people should be looking at, is getting your pre-draft list ready, getting your tiers set up, and figuring out where you see the biggest drop-off in talent or the spot of the draft where you're like, wow, I just don't know what to do here, and try to piece it together so your last pick, it comes in before that and you're not smack dab in the middle of it. Maybe it's the fourth round, you start not liking players, or the fifth round. So depending on where that tier break is, try to position yourself by knowing whether you're picking at 1 and then 24, or if you're picking at 12 and then 13, or wherever in the middle. You space that out correctly so you're getting your preference of players, because worst case scenario, you're getting the last guy on your list. But how often does every single player go in order on everybody's list perfectly? You're bound to get some good value somewhere. It always happens. But you need to set yourself up for whatever you think your best tiers are going to be, and you can land that really easily in both formats.
I will say that I think that one thing that people try and talk about with draft pick draft strategy, it's that just take the earliest one and you can trade down. I'm not sure that's a guarantee. I think that early second round picks are so valuable because there is that teardrop most years from, like, you know, 204 to like 205 or 205. The tier gap fall, like, there is a fall in talent. Obviously, there's a fall in talent as you draft, no matter what round it is. But I feel like, you know, most years you can get that top 12 to 16. And if you can get two of those 16, that's going to be two bona fide guys who you can build a team around. Whereas I feel like that 2-3 turn isn't as fruitful as obviously the early second round.
And what I will say as well is picking in the middle, you're never going to be playing from behind picking from the middle. The problem is it almost feels like you limit your upside, which sounds stupid, but if you pick on corners, you could get stuck with a giant run somewhere. And as much as, you know, we shouldn't be panicking with rosters and making your lineup before the season even starts or anything like that, but you can find yourself in a really tough spot if you don't have quarterback and there's a really big quarterback run in the middle of where you're picking, and now you're stuck. So you either have to make a trade or just settle for whatever garbage is there. Picking in the middle is nice because you're never really going to miss out on a group of players you're trying to get. Unless everything falls just so, you, for the most part, picking in the middle is going to be a really good floor, which is probably why people don't love to pick there. I prefer to pick either early or late. In the middle, to me, is great because you don't have to wait as long when you're picking, which is nice. Outside of that, though, I just feel like you limit upside.
Yeah, but there is an element of there's so much trading involved that I really am not planning my draft outside of the first three or four rounds. Like, okay, like when we're talking about looking at ADP, like, okay, this is where I like these guys. I feel like if you're planning beyond the top four rounds, it's like, okay, what are the odds you even have that pick in the fifth round? That's 506, and so on and so forth. It could be higher, it could be lower. So I guess let's wrap up this portion with just what's the answer? So you have the first pick in a draft pick draft, and I guess we'll go both ways. You have the first pick in the draft pick draft, and you have the last pick in the draft pick draft. One QB in Superflex. What are your answers? I'll go first, and I'll say Superflex, it's 101. That's my first pick that I want. The worst pick that I would want, I would have, is 6. I feel like that is just the absolute mess in Superflex. And then in one QB, I think the best pick is between that 7 to 9 range, and I think that the worst pick is probably like that 2 to 4 range.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right, because you know even 3 or 4, yeah, so 2 to 4, I would say probably 4 or 5 is the worst spot in one QB. In Superflex, I would love assuming I have 101, I'm probably taking 1, so I get Patrick Mahomes. But if I have the second pick, I would assume the first player is taking 101. I'm going back to the end, and I'm probably taking 10, 11, or 12. Depending on the makeup of the league. In one QB, I really like that 10 spot. I feel like some of the guys in front of me or most owners are going to try to grab a handful of running backs, which is probably going to push one of my top wide receivers to me. Worst case scenario, I end up with someone like Tyreek Hill or AJ Brown. That'd be worst case scenario, and that's a pretty good scenario for me.
Yeah, and obviously some of this is catered to what's on the board or, you know, which year it is. But I do think, like, and granted, I have this Tradecast listener week. This is the first startup draft I've done in probably 4 or 5 years. And so I haven't done this in a while. But I will say that I feel like where you want to draft is usually pretty evergreen. Like, you know, if you like that early pick, you like that early pick. If you like that, you know, middle round, so you're not wait.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Waiting too long, you know, that's also the similar case.
Absolutely. And it can pretty much determine who you want with that first round pick. When, for instance, our Tradecast Listener League, we were going best ball. I grabbed 10 because I assumed, which I shouldn't have because we have listeners in our league, that Justin Jefferson would be there. I should have probably picked 8, maybe even 7 to ensure that I got him. But I got a pretty good second pick with DK Metcalf at 10.
Yep.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
All right, so let's move on to some trade strategy. And this is, I'll start off by talking about one thing that I feel like is something that I've picked up in this draft. And if I were to do another draft this offseason, I would, you know, continue to do this. I feel like people overvalue later round picks, like drop-offs in later round picks. And so the tiers are so much more of a drop in, you know, obviously the early rounds, but, you know, in that mid, like rounds five to eight, like there can be a player worth, you know, a first and a half at 504 and a player worth less than a first at 505. And so if you can, you know, take advantage of that teardrop, and if you're sacrificing later picks, so like I would rather sacrifice going from 10 to 14 than going from middle of 7 to middle of 8.
Absolutely. And that's kind of goes back to what we talked about before is really figuring out where your tiers are and trying to get as many players without completely sacrificing your future or the remainder of your draft. So you have no depth whatsoever, but really trying to hone in where that quality kind of ends and trade into it as much as possible. Assuming you're getting fair value, if you have to overpay to go get your guy slightly, I'm totally okay with that, especially in a startup, especially if you're chasing a quarterback in like a 2QB league, because no matter what, that's going to be the cheapest that quarterback most likely ever is, unless they completely tank in value. An example of that would be like going to go get Carson Wentz before the beginning of last year or something like that. Way overpay to get him. You land him, he's your guy, but all of a sudden, here comes Jalen Hurts. There goes Doug Peterson. Offense is garbage. Carson Wentz looks like crap. And there goes the value. So it can come back to bite you, but it's all risk-reward anyways. You're risking anytime you make a pick. So if you want a guy, move up to go get him. Don't necessarily go crazy to overpay to get him. But go get him because it's probably the cheapest he'll be.
Yeah, and that's probably a separate point, you know, for our Superflex podcast. But the quarterback, especially the young quarterback, there is no wider variance in value than the young quarterback. Dwayne Haskins coming into the year, he could have ended up being a, you know, mid fifth round pick, or he could have ended up being basically undrafted. Like that's how wide the variance is. Like top five rounds, undrafted. Yep. And like, look at Drew Lock. Drew Lock was probably going in like, you know, the 6 to 8 range last year, and now he's probably going in the 12 to 14 range. So, yeah. But as far as, you know, trade, I guess let's talk about, you know, the conversation, sending offers. Like, are you normally the guy who's, I know we've gone over this plenty of times over the last 6 years, but are you the guy who DMs guys say, hey, I'm looking to move up here? Do you just send an offer? How do you start the conversation with, oh, I really want to move up and get my guy here?
It depends on how the draft is rolling. If there's a spot where I see three or four guys kind of starting to slide and I can get into that zone in any one of those three or four picks, I'm sending an offer to every single one of those owners to try to get in, to try to get that player or one of those players. Or if I'm like, hey, there's a million guys here that I like, why not try to gain some value? I'm spamming offers, and it's the only time I'm ever spamming offers. I hate that move, but in a startup, send an offer to everybody to try to move back. That's the easiest way to do it, to gain value. Sure, you're giving up maybe a higher-end player, but if you still have, let's say you're trying to move back a full round, and you have 15 players on your board, okay, well, you're still getting at least one of those guys, if not more. So I think it's important to be heavy-handed when trying to move back, and I think you have to be very selective when trying to move up, and you have to focus on the player you're trying to get versus pick value.
I will say there's been a couple of times in the startup where I have been offered a trade to move up, and I haven't even really had like, oh, I need to get this guy right now, but I just felt like the value worked. Yep. And that'll happen, but I do think that can end up, you know, hurting your depth a little bit when you're just trading up because you just think it's a good value.
Definitely, yeah, and that's one reason why I usually don't just trade up to trade up. For instance, in our startup, I moved up unintentionally to get Joe Burrow. It wasn't my original plan. I got an offer sent to me that I honestly thought was an acceptable offer. I was going to accept it and then thought, you know what? I don't need to do this. He's there, but I'm just going to counter. And then one or two more messages, we got in and it was easy. I felt like the value was dead even, dead fair. I maybe lost a little bit of good depth, but I definitely gained a higher end asset.
But yeah, but also, as we've talked about with quarterbacks, it's the opposite of a used car. The minute you drive it off the lot, it's more expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now let's get into some ADP do's and don'ts. Basically, when we're looking at, and I will say that we talk about it all the time with rookie drafts where, you know, the sharpest rookie drafts are always the ones that start the weekend of the NFL draft or, you know, the Monday after the NFL draft, because no ADP has quite been established yet. Or if any ADP that's out there is very rough, like it hasn't, like, you know, there's definitely going to be changes over the next month or so. And so, you know, we started before February ADP was even out on most sites. And so January ADP is almost stale at this point because the playoffs have happened and, you know, there's rumors of trade, or there was trades with Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. So basically what I'm saying is that the more, depending on what time you're in, like if it's July, August, ADP is pretty good. Like, you know, you're not going to see too many differentiations like a round plus behind or a round plus ahead. But the earlier you are in the offseason, the more likely you are to have differentiation. So I will say that the ADP is more reliable later in the offseason than it is earlier. But either way, whether I find it extremely reliable or extremely fluky, I do use it as a tool that I use it for. Okay, if I trade down eight spots, what am I looking for in this range of eight spots? If I, you know, don't trade up and I'm sitting here, like what's going to be left when I'm still here? So I use it mostly for trades more so than like looking at draft. When it comes from a draft perspective, I'm just taking the best guy I want. And if the best guy I want has an ADP two rounds later, then I'll trade down a little. But rarely am I saying, okay, I have this guy higher, but this guy is, you know, a round and a half ahead of him in ADP, so I'm going to take him first. That's rarely the case. It's more so for trades for me.
Absolutely. If you're – well, I shouldn't – I mean, that's what it's there for. It's to help guide people that need it. But for me, just like you, it's all, hey, what is this – what's market value? It's always how I'm looking at it, is just whatever the market dictates what I should be looking for in a trade, whether I get more or have to take less, depending on the move that we're making. That's what I'm looking at it for. It's just whatever the community believes is the value. Now, if I'm drafting and maybe I don't have my list in front of me or am not really thinking clearly, sometimes I will pull it up to see what should I be drafting here. Maybe there's someone that's worth more than they should be, and I could flip this player or something like that. But for the most part, like you, I'm taking the best player that I want rather than what the market dictates necessarily is the best player, best option to go with. So, I think using it as a trade tool, strictly figuring out what market value is. And obviously, if you know the other owners in your league, that helps quite a bit. But for starters, unless you're really not sure how to attack a startup, you could use it for just a startup guide, I guess. I mean, like I said, that's kind of what it's there for. If you're a beginner, if you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing, or you don't maybe have a preference on players and you're just thinking, hey, let's do everything based on value rather than who I want.
Yeah, but I will say that, like I said, that is more of a viable strategy in July and August than it is in February. Mm-hmm. If you use January ADP in February, there's a good chance like your team's going to be terrible.
Very possible. It's very, very possible.
All right. So let's talk about this is less so a strategy thing and more so, you know, kind of some commish talk slash just, you know, general overview of what are we doing with rookies? So obviously what happens with rookies is kind of depends on when your draft is happening, but also it might not have to. So there's three frames of mind that I see for rookies. If you know a fourth or more, then let me know. But there's three. There is rookies in the startup, meaning that the rookie players like Najee Harris, Travis, I can't talk today, Travis Etienne, and, you know, et cetera, Trevor Lawrence, all those guys are in the startup. You can take them as you would, you know, A.J. Brown or DK Metcalf. Like, you know, they're in the same pool of players. There's rookie picks where no matter how long your rookie draft is, whether it's four rounds, five rounds, however many, all of those picks, 101 through 512, are all available. And then there's my personal favorite, which you losers who voted in TradeCast Listener League wouldn't let me do. It's rookie slots. What's a rookie slot? A rookie slot is that you select a slot. So instead of taking the 101 in with the third round pick, then you'll actually be taking the 101. And with the 101, you get the 101, the 201, the 301, the 401, the 501. And each team can only select one slot. So it becomes a lot of strategy of, oh, do you want to spend early and get all of the 101 picks? Or do you want to wait until the end and you can get the 112, 212, 312 for free? So like, that's a strategy element. And then the more like convincing argument that I have that I've turned people's heads with is that so often when you have rookie draft picks in a startup, the same three or four guys have all of the picks.
Yeah.
And so if you do rookie slots, then everyone's in the action. Everyone's trading away picks. Everyone's trading four picks. With rookie slots, everyone starts with picks. And I feel like there's more active trading when people are kind of forced to have picks that maybe they don't even want.
So the way I look at it, and it's not like one is better than the other. The way
the
I look,
rookie slots.
I will say, if you're more of a beginner or this is your first startup, rookie slots is probably your best option. You disperse the picks, even though somebody's getting 101, 201, 301, 401, and somebody's getting 112, and so on.
Oh, I do want to be clear because the way you said that. This is not where the person who drafts 112 automatically gets the 101. That is
No. The reverse startup.
Yeah, no, that is draft. The worst way, because as we said, the 201 is so valuable. That person is starting off with basically three top 15 assets: the 101, 112, and 201. The worst. if you're thinking about doing that in your startup, don't even do the startup.
Correct. Do not do that. But yes, picking rookie slots, I feel, is best for beginners or less experienced. Picking physical rookie picks, I think, is more for the intermediate group. Maybe people have been around for a couple of years. They're not exactly watching film or studying analytics or anything like that, but they have an idea of what players may be going where based on things like ADP or, you know, people in the industry's rankings, what they see on Twitter, things like that. And then physically putting the rookies in, especially if you're doing it early, is more of an advanced player or shark move, in my opinion, because now you don't look at that and see, wow, rookie pick 101, look at all the value that thing has. You physically have a player, because a lot of people have a really tough time telling 101 from Najee Harris apart, or 101 from Trevor Lawrence apart if it's super flex. They just see the number, not a player, and think that's worth a ton, which it is. But when you have a physical player, it feels like it's almost easier to spread the value out and get players a little bit later when they're the physical players and not everyone's sure of,
oh, yeah, of course,
said asset.
The floor of a rookie player is infinitely lower than a rookie pick, because especially the earlier you are in the offseason, the less we know. I mean, and especially with this offseason with no combine and limited pro days and all those things, that personally, I don't think I would play in a startup that had the rookies before the NFL draft. Not because I'm scared or anything.
It's fun.
I think it's a lot of luck. And,
oh, for sure. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
It's a complete wild card.
Like, you know, I'm trying to think of like Deontay Johnson, the year he came out, he was probably like a 24th round startup pick in February.
Oh, yeah. 100%. People didn't even know who he was.
All right. So anything else on rookie picks, rookies, and slots?
No, I think, honestly, just do what's best for the league. Make sure you're voting on it. Make sure someone's not dictating it for you. Getting a good mix of things definitely helps, especially from a commissioner's standpoint.
For sure. All right. So before we wrap up the show with our game splits app, let's hear about ourselves, RotoViz.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a one-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
Once again, that's RVRadio2021. Get that promo code 10% off. You'll be good to go. So you can use apps just like the Box Score Scout, which we used last week. And this one, this app, the GameSplits app, or this GameSplits app, I've been using this. Like we talked about how we aren't the smartest in terms of math and apps and all those things last week. I was using this one like before I was even a fantasy writer. Like, this is one of my favorite apps in the fantasy industry. It's the RotoViz GameSplit app. For those that don't know what this is that basically you can take different scenarios with a player, and it'll show you how that player performs in the split and out of the split. You can take versus a certain level of defense, home, road, with a certain player in the lineup. There's so many ways to go about it. So basically, there are, and, you know, critics of the GameSplit app might say that, like, there is some cherry-picking involved with it. But it does show a picture of, if you're looking for something, how well this guy does against good defenses, how well this guy does without his quarterback. It shows you that information, and it's definitely good for lineup leagues when you have to set your lineup like, oh, I don't know if I should start DeAndre Hopkins. How does he do without Watson? And then you see that information.
Yeah, game splits it's massive. With the amount of injuries we get daily and weekly in the NFL, this is huge for determining upside and plays. If you're honestly struggling with lineup decisions, sure, you can go look at weekly rankings for certain players. But I honestly think if you're in a tough spot, figuring out the most upside, the GameSplits app is massive. And like you, I use this constantly. I'd always mess around in this, trying to look at different scenarios, even if it didn't even matter to me, just looking at things, looking at random stats, just because it's fun to do.
And when I first started using the GameSplit app, this is how long I've been using it. The GameSplit, like it's not anymore, but the automatic players that were in it were, it was the player was Julio and the in-out split was Roddy White. That's how old the GameSplit app is, that we had to see how Julio did without Roddy White in the lineup.
I love it.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to give you two players with an in and out split, and you are going to guess what the in split is, what's causing the in versus the out. So our first one is Saquon Barkley. His in split is 16.42 PPR points. His out split is 23.59 PPR points. So about an 8-point drop between his in split and in his out split. I mean, 8-point increase from his in split to his out split.
So I would assume, I mean, who's another running back that's been there? Wayne Gallman? I don't think that's affecting him 8 points. I would assume it's a pass catcher. Sterling Shepard takes a lot of that work. So what's Shepard, Slayton, Engram, I would assume would be the three options. Shouldn't be Golden Tate. There's no way it's Golden Tate. That wouldn't even, there's not that in and out's probably 0 and 40. I'm going to guess Sterling Shepard.
You went the wrong direction, my friend. This game split app, or this split is brought to you by Daniel Jones is very bad. He's very bad. Daniel Jones is ruining Saquon Barkley. I knew it before I plugged it in. And then when I saw, I was like, well, got to bring this up. Daniel Jones ruining Saquon Barkley. So I guess let's talk about some dynasty, you know, element of this. Does this make you worry about the next couple years with Barkley? Does it give you hope that when he loses Daniel Jones, that he's going to go back to scoring 24 a game? Like, what does this make? Does this impact your thought process of Saquon at all?
I mean, it's definitely worrisome. I had a conversation with our good friend TJ Calkins when Saquon was drafted by the New York Giants, whatever year it was, about how this was kind of a really bad landing spot. Just at the time, kind of a low-key bad landing spot.
And that was with OBJ on the team, too.
And that was with OBJ. but dead Eli, right? Then they bring in Daniel Jones, and it's like, this kind of got worse. The existing best wide receiver at the time was Sterling Shepard. You bring in Evan Ingram, you had Darius Slayton, but that's not really exciting. That's not going to take eyes off of Saquon. I am worried about it. I think Saquon's one of the most talented, if not the most talented back in the league. I mean, he's a freak, but he's been playing from behind pretty much all the time. He's going to be getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. He's got no weapons there right now to take the pressure off. I mean, and Daniel Jones isn't good. So it's a bad spot. Volume's going to be crazy, but it's not going to be very efficient volume.
Has he signed an extension yet? I don't think so, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up the show with one more split. We have Michael Thomas in 2020, and his in-split is 6.5 PPR points, and his out-split is 16.1 PPR points.
I mean, I would assume it's like Taysom Hill, but I don't think Michael Thomas played when Taysom was under center. So maybe it's Jared Cook or Latavius Murray. I know he was hurt a little bit. That's a strange one. I feel like you're trying to throw me off with this one. Like it would be someone that wouldn't matter, but randomly it affected him and his points. So I'm going to say Latavius Murray.
No, it's someone who definitely affected him. It's one Drew Brees.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one kind of surprised me a little bit because I was kind of on the belief that Michael Thomas was kind of over the bridge, done. I tend to write off veteran receivers a little bit early, and I was doing so with Thomas, and I'm kind of still doing so. But the fact that he was so bad with Brees and serviceable outside of Brees, like, that gives some hope that, like, he's going to be outside of Brees in 2021 because the Saints literally can't afford to have Drew Brees on the roster, so he has to retire. I think that that's my takeaway here, is that maybe we're undervaluing Thomas a little bit because he was bad a lot because of Brees, and outside of Brees, he was decent.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely better than averaging 6.5 points. I think we can all agree on that. But yeah, the Twitter antics and the kind of below average success. And yeah, I mean, injured this year and whatever, but I don't know, man. I feel like the free fall is just kind of going to continue. We'll see what happens under center there, but I'm still not real. I don't see a super high ceiling. I think the floor and the ceiling probably with Michael Thomas are essentially the same thing, assuming he's got an average quarterback under center. I do think he could be a really nice value, obviously, because, I mean, look at where he's going. His ADP it's horrible. It's in the tank. But everything that kind of transpired this season has me a little bit worried about the future.
Alrighty, that's the RotoViz Game Splits app. Make sure to get your use promo code RVRadio 2021 to get your access to the RotoViz Game Splits app. All right, any last words before we head out, Dan?
If there's any tools on the site that you guys want to hear us talk about, send us a DM or hit us up on Twitter. We'll definitely take all considerations. We're going to go through like everything because I don't know if you know this, but there isn't any football on right now. So we're just trying to fill the dead air. But we're looking forward to digging in some more of some of these things that we don't have a ton of experience using. But in time, we will have that experience. We'll be able to share it with you guys. So we're looking forward to doing this dive on all of these different tools and making sure you guys know about them.
All righty. That should wrap us up for this evening. Hope you enjoy the show. Kadosh!
Give it one of these. You don't, hey, slow down. You're going to kill yourself. You choke.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.